Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. On this Monday, Titans getting ready to put their 53 together. Let's say hello to former Titans punter Brett Kern, who joins us on the show. And Brett, we watched the third and final preseason game yesterday. I know, I still got to get used to that. And then they're going to go to two here soon. But, watch that yesterday. The offense with Will Levis looked pretty good. Now, you know, you can make the argument they were going up against backups or whatever, but I thought the execution was good. You know, it looked smooth. It looked clean. What did you make of the first team offense?
Man, I tell you what, I think if I'm a Titans fan, I'm pretty excited about what I saw yesterday. I understand there's no Cam Jordan, Granderson, Honey Badger, a lot of, I mean, you know, they're really in essence probably a little bit of their ones. You know, probably most of their twos ran on defense, but the time that Will Levis had to throw the ball was amazing. And you could tell whether it's running play action, run, screen, back to another play action to a wide open Boyd, a couple more runs, screen to Pollard. They marched down that field in the opening possession like it was light work, right? As my son was saying, they were cooking. I'm trying to understand the lingo now these days, but they were cooking, right? And so, you know, the next possession, they come out, and, you know, Will has all day to throw to a wide-open Calvin Ridley, right? They go down the field. You know, probably don't want to have to go for it on fourth down right there, but they executed. And, you know, Will's first incomplete pass of the game was the double coverage to Calvin in the back of the end zone, which is probably a safer throw. I'd rather him try to make that kind of throw, trying to make a play, than, you know, trying to throw to double coverage, somebody coming across the middle, and, you know, your percentage chances for a pick are pretty high, right? So he gave it a shot, didn't get it, got a field goal. And so they came out, you know, I was like, dang, these guys are looking pretty good. And I think that's what you wanted. And that's what you wanted, too, to see that offensive line. I know there's probably a lot of questions, but you could tell, you know, with Bill, you know, to see Dylan out there and Petit Frere, and they were looking solid. And you could tell on these screens, he's getting these, you know, Skoronski and Dylan, you know, probably two of your quicker guards that you have, and athletic guards, getting them out in these screens and leaving Latham kind of back to protect. And it looked really, really good. And I think, you know, as a fan, it was pretty exciting to watch.
So speaking on the offensive line, I mean, I agree with everything you just said. And watching them, you know, am I going to sit here and say this is the best offensive line I've ever seen? No, but it's what I feel comfortable with going into the season, and I feel like if they stay healthy, you know, the more they play together, working with Bill Callahan, this can turn into a pretty good offensive line and keep Will Levis upright. You agree?
I think so. I mean, I think obviously by what, you know, with what Brian said after the game, it was obviously intentional for those guys to get that first half because they're young. You know, you got a first rounder this year, last year's first rounder, a second rounder, a third rounder. Really, you know, it's a young crew. And then you got Cush in the middle to kind of anchor it all, which is what you want, you know, on your offensive line. You know, you go back to Ben Jones, you know, anchoring the offensive line for such a long time, and you want that leader, you know, in the middle making your calls and being the communicator, right? So I think it just takes time, you know, for those guys to gel and mesh. And I think that's why they got the, you know, the first half yesterday. But, you know, you could see that as they play more together, and you could tell the coaching that they're getting. I think, you know, Bill's coaching them individually based on their skill set. It's not necessarily like, hey, this is the offensive line, we're going to coach you all this way, and it's kind of the same going the whole way across. Like, I think he's just coaching them individually to their skill sets, and you could tell. I mean, to take a kind of a deep breath yesterday, and I get it, it's against the twos, but that's what they're supposed to do. And I think in years past, the offensive line would maybe even struggle against the twos, right? And you're thinking, golly, we're going against the twos and we're still struggling here, right? But to see the time that Will had and to throw was great to see. And then also to see Brian mixing up play calls. Like, you're keeping that D-line, like, you know, the D-line is straightforward. Let's go. Let's get the quarterback and stop the run. While it's done, you start making them go east to west and you're having to make them run. That takes a lot on them. And then you're making the backers second guess. Okay, is this going to be screen, run? Okay, we're going to bite on this play action here. And so the play calling, too, was phenomenal. I think yesterday that first half was really fun to watch.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe show today. All right, Brett, now
cut down day is approaching. Was there a moment in your career, did you try to stay out of the locker room on that day? I mean, I know your job was safe, but you got guys that you loved, you became friends with, and they're gone. It's not easy, I would think, for the guy getting cut, obviously, but, you know, for a team at a guy like you who, you know, one second the guy's there, the next second he's gone. It's got to be kind of an odd, kind of surreal thing.
Yeah, it's Grim Reaper Day. So, you know, the Grim Reaper comes around and he finds you, right? And so years past, there's been different ways to do it. You know, years past, we've been all in a workout, and it's the longest workout, but everybody has to be at that workout. And so the Grim Reaper comes and just picks people one by one. You know, everybody comes in for meetings and guys are kind of throughout the building. There's been some where they don't come in at all and they have to call their phone 8 times to try to get them to come in. So I think I've seen it done all different ways, but regardless, you know, I knew, you know, most of the time my job was safe. Obviously with Stoney, that was a little different just because I knew the situation and, you know, had talked with people prior to even cut day of what was going to happen. So I was able to kind of prepare myself. You know, leaving that building after being there for 13 years was hard. But I also know, too, like I tried to invest in a lot of the younger guys. A lot of the younger guys would come talk to me, you know, just ask me questions of routine and rhythm and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, as hard as it was to see them, you know, kind of get plucked by the Reaper, like I just wanted to be there for them, just to encourage them, you know, tell them, hey, look, there's always the practice squad, you know, what they told you, what you put on film, you know, other teams are all watching it and they're all seeing. And so just trying to encourage them, because obviously getting cut, getting handed the trash bag is really the last thing you want to do. And for most of these guys, they feel like their dream is over. But I just felt like if I could be there in the locker room with them, encourage them, tell them to keep their head up. You know, most of the time I'd see them 2 days later after they cleared waivers and they were on the practice squad. But, you know, it's just it's a tough day. A lot of guys put a lot of work into it, and especially when you go 3-0 in a preseason and it's in the fourth quarter and you play really, really good football and Stonehouse pinning the team on the 8, defense doing its job. Eric returning the ball back a couple plays later, boom, touchdown to Bryce Oliver. Like that's in your fourth quarter to win a game with your backups, and that's what they're doing. Like there's going to be some really tough decisions to make. Thankfully, I think they'll get a lot of these guys that they love back on the practice squad. Then you also got to see what else is out there, right? There's a lot of good football players, talented football players that are going to get cut over the next 24 hours. And there's a chance being seventh in the waiver order that's a pretty good place to be if you want to go out and get somebody. So we'll see what happens.
How did you find out? Did you get a text message? Did Vrabel say beat it? I mean, how did it all go down for you?
No, I mean, I could kind of tell, like, it's different. A lot of the young guys are just kind of naive to how the business works and playing time and all that kind of stuff. And they don't know any better, and that's totally understandable. And so they kind of, you know, get caught off guard, right? But for me, I could tell, you know, about halfway through the preseason, you know, they're starting to give Stonehouse all the holding reps in practice. And just some things were, you know, kind of happening playing time-wise. And then when they told me, hey, Stoney's going to get the last game full, I was like, oh, this is, yeah. Well, you know, I had the conversation with my wife and, hey, do I just retire now? And I told her, I was like, I put in so much work to prepare for this season, diet, working out, all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, at 37 years old, your body's not what it was when you were 22 coming out of college, right? So I just had to put in a lot more work to try to play. And, you know, at the preseason game, I totally forgot who we were playing, but I just went over to them and just like, hey, look, like if I know cuts are on Tuesday, but, you know, if you guys know you're going to cut me, can you do it tomorrow, Monday, just so I can come in, say goodbye to people? Because once you're out, you're not coming back in that building, right? So your passcode to get in gets deleted right away. So I just want to be able to go in, say bye to a lot of people that I love over in that building, and instead of just kind of the chaos that it is on Tuesday cut day.
Brett Kern is with us here on the program. And, yeah, I mean, like, I kind of look at I feel like Nick Folk is going to be the kicker, but, I mean, Narvison had a really good camp and looked good in these preseason games. So, I mean, it did kind of remind me of a few years ago with your situation of, you know, do they maybe look towards the future? But I'd be curious if they try and get Narvison back to the practice squad.
Absolutely. I think, you know, before COVID and practice squad eligibility, that's probably a no. But now with 16 guys, you can stash, you know, a kicker, maybe a punter, even a long snapper of one of those 16 and just work with them. I think the difference between me and Stoney is I had no guaranteed money, and Nick Folk got, you know, I think almost $4 million guaranteed, as he deserves, because he had an unbelievable year last year. So I think Braden did everything that he could. You know, and I'm sure Morgan or Cole or, you know, are saying, hey, look, like, you put some really good tape on film, and that's what you're supposed to do, especially when you're coming in and competing against a vet. You know, you have to show that you can outkick Nick Folk, which is pretty tough to do, especially the season that he had and his veteran leadership that he has. But he did everything that he could. If a team, I mean, you saw Cade York from the Browns just get traded for a 7th-round pick to Washington. You know, if a team needs a kicker and they want to invest a 7th-rounder in Braden, I could definitely see that happening. But, you know, if they cut him and then he clears waivers, I don't see why he's not back on that practice squad.
Yeah, could be will be interesting to watch for sure. Brett, appreciate it. As always, I know you're at a golf tournament, so hit them straight, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. 2002 Penn State Nittany Lions. Larry Johnson rushed for 2,000 yards. I was able to go to the game against Michigan State that he rushed over 2,000. And unfortunately, Carson Palmer won the Heisman that year. But that was – I think they only went 9-4, but that was my team.
Love it. That's a perfect answer. Thank you.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Brett. Brett Kern joining us here on the program as he does every Monday.
God, he does listen.
Yeah. Oh, of course he does. He's loyal for sure. We'll react to the Titans and – cuts that are going to be happening and what we think. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.